Now, back to Waitley.
Jared's away, of course, on a well-earned break, so I'm sharing duties with Kane Corns over the course of the next week or so right here on Mornings. But pleasure to have your company, as always. Come along for the ride with us. 1-300-736-736. Danny Townsend to join us shortly. Matty Forrest from the Geelong Advertiser will set the scene for us down there in Geelong, the grand final, the Premier's Parade down there in Geelong taking place, well, right about now. That's thanks to McCafe, our official coffee partner. But we're on the subject of Brad Scott, of course, who would have to be the heavy favourite to take over from Ben Rutten as the next senior coach at the Essendon Football Club, subject to him formally applying and going through the process there. A lot of you wanting to have your say on this, good, bad and otherwise. Michael's in Berwick. Mick, what do you make of it?
Morning, Sam. I've got a bit of a different slant on it, mate. With the Hawthorn debacle, if it plays out as most people expect it to, that'll put Uze out of the running. It'll also put the Brisbane coach out. Wouldn't you think that Brad Scott, being an ex-Brisbane player, and the quality of the list up there, would be more attracted to go there?
Yeah, I absolutely do, Michael. And there's a lot of people around this one who can absolutely see Brad Scott at Brisbane for all the reasons and more that you've articulated there. I just think one's going to come before the other. So that Brisbane vacancy, even if there is going to be a vacancy there, might be more than two months away. So if Brad Scott wants to coach, would he be willing to hold out and overlook the Essendon job on the chance that he could be in the running for the Brisbane job? It's a pretty big if at the moment, so I'm not sure if he'll, you know, play that card, if you like. I tend to think that if Essendon come calling, as they have done, and he wants to coach, this might be the opportunity for him, and he gets to remain in Melbourne as well.
Yeah, the only thing is, though, Sam, is, you know, the mess that Essendon is in, you know.
But the Band-Aid's off, isn't it, Michael? The Band-Aid's off. And if you listen to Tim Watson talking about Andrew Thorburn, then maybe it's a good thing. I mean, at least the wheels are in motion. I mean, there's some problems there. There's some things that need to happen, and they're instituting those changes now. So perhaps in many ways, that's a perfect time to come in.
Yeah, true. One other thing, Sam, just changes left of field. Any news with what Carlton's doing with trades or anything like that?
Blake Akers will come in, Michael. No doubt about that. But they're going to be quiet. They were always going to be. They were going to prioritise the draft this year. They're following through on that. Big re-signing, obviously, in the form of Charlie Curnow. They've got to re-sign Harry Mackay, Tom De Koning next year. So have to save their pennies, Michael. I don't think there'll be big players in the trade and free agency space. If there's anything else still to come, it'll be sort of on a lower tier level, if that makes sense. But appreciate you joining us this morning. We'll be on Trade Radio, myself and Brenton Sanderson, at 1 o'clock this afternoon. But we've got an enormous 12 months ahead of us in this country when it comes to the World Games. So the Socceroos can't wait for this. They're off to the World Cup later this year in Qatar. Our women will contest a World Cup on our shores next July, which will be fantastic. And we're less than a fortnight out now from a new A-League men and women's season, which were both launched in Melbourne this morning. And Danny Townsend is the Chief Executive Officer of the Australian Professional Leagues. Danny, it's been an exciting morning. Morning. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, it sure has, Sam. Thanks for having me on.
So you're getting started with a bang too, I might add, on October 7, a grand final rematch, Melbourne City, Western United at Amy Park.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a huge weekend of fixtures for the first round of the Isuzu Ute A-League, and no better way to start it than a grand final replay. I'm sure Melbourne City have got revenge in their mind.
And this date obviously is a lot earlier than the past two campaigns, which began, you know, I think in November and then maybe December as a result of the dreaded COVID-19. So nice to start back on schedule.
Yeah, it is, absolutely. And as you pointed out in the lead-in there, you know, it's an exciting 12 months for the game here. You know, it's not often you have a Men's World Cup inserted into the middle of your season and then bookend that with a Women's World Cup on home soil. So it's a really exciting time for football. We wanted to capitalise on that and give the A-League talent an opportunity to stake their claim for a seat on the plane to Doha and Arnie's Socceroos squad. So, yeah, all to play for.
And it must be reassuring for you, given the seat that you sit in, to have some consistency when it comes to the schedule and the fixture given. What percentage of matches were rescheduled last season? Was it about 50%?
Yeah, it was about 50%. It was about 130 matches across the season that were rescheduled. And like, I think you underestimate certainty and how important that is for fans to really lock in their diaries and commit to the 13 home games to support their favourite club. And we haven't been able to do that, frankly, for 3 years. So yeah, there's a real buzz around our fan base and our memberships that they're just excited to get back in the terraces and cheer on their favourite club.
Now, you will break for the World Cup, of course. Now, this has been a story in itself going back a long time, that it was going to be held across November and December over there, obviously, to avoid the excessive heat in that part of the world. So can you take us through what happens to the domestic seasons here when the World Cup kicks off in November over there?
Yeah, when the Men's World Cup kicks off, we'll pause the A-League Men for 3 weeks for the group stages, because there's just so much male football content in the market at that time. And obviously, we want the fans focused on the Socceroos, given they've qualified, which is fantastic. But we're going to take that opportunity to launch the Liberty A-League Women during that window to give them some clear air from a footballing perspective domestically and really drive the real great start to the ladies' season.
Now, the best thing about the World Cup is, for those that follow the A-League super closely, they're going to see a lot of familiar faces, aren't they? So I think you're on track at this point anyway, Danny, to have the biggest representation of A-League players ever in the squad. I think you might have had 7 in the recent friendlies against New Zealand.
Yeah, it'll depend on who gets on the plane, as I said, but the A-League's certainly well represented at the moment. And I think Graham Arnold said publicly last week that he's really excited to see the start of the season and follow the players that are in contention. So, like I said, there's lots to play for those guys, and we're excited to see them represent our country.
The Women's World Cup is, you know, a once-in-a-generation moment to have it here in Australia. How much, preparation, planning, executions going in to capitalise on the other side of that, Danny, to see the game take off, much like it did if we rewind to, 2006 when the men made the World Cup after a long hiatus, and what that did for the game in this country?
Yeah, it's an important time for women's football. It's an important time for football in general and women's sport. So I think there's going to be a lot of beneficiaries of this World Cup, and probably I think the public underestimate how big this is going to be. And for A-League women, we want to see a long-term legacy for women's professional football here, and we've invested ahead of the World Cup. We've expanded the competition by 3 teams. We've extended the length of the season. So we're giving young female footballers, aspiring professionals, an opportunity to play at the highest level more often. And that's important for developing talent for the national teams and keeping the Matildas in the top 10 in the world like they are at the moment.
Yeah. So just coming back to the launch this morning, Danny, I think guests were given their first look at the A-League's All Access documentary. Can you take us through? This is a behind-the-scenes docu-series. I think it's fair to say he's going to be done with a difference, isn't it? So it's 30 episodes filmed and aired week to week, which is a bit different to your typical sporting documentary. Take us through the thinking behind this and how it's going to, manifest itself in reality.
Yeah, it's a big play. When you think about docu-series like Drive to Survive, obviously very, very successful for Formula One, we wanted to do something different. I think they're almost the flavour of the month, these type of things, but we didn't want to do the same as everyone else. And we felt doing something weekly would enable us to just follow the most interesting story arcs around the weekend's fixtures and get in behind the scenes. We've invested heavily in content capturing capability, in people and technical capability around the clubs to ensure that the doors are always open and all the content that we're capturing is going to come into the centre, into Keep Up Studios and curate that in partnership with Jam TV to be able to deliver a really unique proposition to our fans week in, week out.
Danny, what are the challenges for the A-League? We're a sporting country. We're a crowded marketplace. You're fighting for eyeballs. You're fighting for people to pay their hard-earned and go and attend on the weekend and during the week and sit in the stands. And what are the main challenges for the A-League, I guess, to strengthen your foothold in this crowded market?
Yeah, it's a good point. We're in the attention business. We're competing for the attention of sports fans and football fans alike. So we've got to do a better job engaging them. We've had challenges over the last couple of years around COVID and just the lack of certainty around fixturing. We've got to really get back into engaging our core football audience. There are 8 million football fans in this country, 3 million of which identify as A-League fans. So I don't need to go and convince other sports fans to like football. I just got to convince football fans to like A-League football. And that's really where we're leaning in on. And our content strategy is really central to that engagement plan.
I wanted to ask, it's not a new question by any stretch of the imagination. In fact, the sort of, the real football core fan have been arguing for it for a long, long time. And I'm sure you've staked your flag in the ground one side or the other. But I guess the introduction, or whether you support the introduction of a promotion relegation system and a national second division starting in the years to come, where do you broad brush sit with that, Danny?
Yeah, look, I'm a football person at heart, and the most compelling football matches sometimes are promotion relegation battles, and I think our game should absolutely aspire to that just given its role in most football markets around the world. I think with National Second Division, we've been very supportive of that with the FA and the AFC in you know, playing our role, whatever that may be. Having more strong football clubs in this country is great for the A-League. And if that eventuates into an opportunity to introduce promotion relegation down the track, then absolutely, I think that's something we all need to aspire to.
So, Danny, before I let you go, I want you to put your fan hat on for a second then. We've got the grand final, obviously, rematch coming up next month. Is there going to be a change in the hierarchy here? Who in this early stage, if you're crystal balling for us, are going to be among the teams to beat in the new season?
I think it's, you know, most clubs have recruited really well, and it'll always depend on how they gel. And I think when you look at last year's form guide and who's improved, you know, it's hard to go past Melbourne Victory. You know, they've added, you know, marquee star power with Nani, who's a global superstar, and he's going to light the league up. You know, watching him in pre-season, you know, he's got plenty of good football in him, and I think he's going to be the real difference. So, yeah, look, I think if I had to make a call at this point, it's probably Melbourne Victory, but I'm sure there'll be other clubs that'll emerge and have their say.
Danny, great to have you on. Exciting morning. Great to hear it's going to kick off with a bang on October 7. Obviously, City and United at Amy Park. It's a massive year for the Men's World Cup. Next year, we can't wait for it. It's going to be a huge story with the Women's World Cup in this part of the world. We can't wait for that. So thanks very much for your time. Appreciate you joining us.
Good on you, Sam. Appreciate the support.